All right, today, what I chose for us to talk about is God. God is holy. We're going to talk about some of his attributes and what it is for him to be holy. And this is what we strive for each and every day. You have your Bibles, let's look at the first verse of Isaiah chapter 6, verse number 3. Isaiah chapter 6, and verse number 3. And what has that?
We would like to read. Calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. Amen.
Amen. All right, and in my footnotes, I have here that it says the word holy twice. To say the word holy twice in Hebrew is to describe someone as most holy. To say the word three times intensifies the idea to the highest level. In other words, the holiness of God is indescribable in human language. To be holy means to be different, distant, or transcendent. Now, the idea of the word holy is to be separate. And we know that God is separate from us because, in a sense, he lowers himself to come to be with us. God is so high, so magnificent, and so good that he is above anything that we can even imagine. Now, we try to imagine things. We try to imagine our minds and say, well, God is better than the universe, which is really vast to us. That's pretty much about the biggest thing that that we can fathom, a whole universe, which most of us really have never seen. I've never seen pictures of it, but to say a universe is like this vast space with all of the terrestrial planets and stars, and to see all that and then to think that God is greater than all that. How can you put God into something that's made by man to say he is greater than? It's impossible. Now, two aspects that we want to look at is how great God is from this point of view. Let's look at Exodus chapter 15, verse number 11. Exodus 15.
Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders?
All right. Now, in biblical days, men, because of their mind, they believed, some men didn't, they believed that it was a God for everything. It was a God for harvest, it was a God for rain, it was a God for the sunshine, it was a God for beauty, it was a God for sickness, whatever you could imagine, it was a God for. a being that was so great that it controlled everything. But we know that our God is a God above all any other God that you could ever imagine. This is what Paul tried to teach to the Bereans. I mean, those that were at Athens, I'm sorry, when they had statues of different gods that they worshipped and honored. But they also, because they didn't know and wanted to make sure they didn't miss anybody, they had a place set for the unknown God. And now we know who the unknown God is, because God made everything. And we know that there is only one God. And Psalms number 113, or chapter 113, verse 4 and 6, it tells us more about that. Psalms
113, 4 and 6.
Okay.
The Lord is exalted over all the nations, glory above the heavens. Who stoops down to look on the heavens, and the earth is subject to him. Now let me try that again. The Lord is exalted over all the nations, his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, the one who sits enthroned on high, who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth?
Okay. And this verse tells us, or gives us the idea to the greatness of what God is. So great and so vast and so powerful, he is over top of all nations. So, I mean, he's over top of anything that's on earth. But he is above anything that's on earth. He's above everything that's in heaven. And because he's so great, in order for him to see us and to be with us, he has to lower himself down to be with us and to pay attention to us, to what we do. Now, like I said, our mind can't really fathom how is that possible, because of the greatness of God. But we can get a picture as to how great he is when we look around and see the greatness of his handiwork. If God created everything on this earth, and he created in the universe, I just finished talking about the universe, how vast that was, but just take our earth, for example. There's so many beautiful things that are here on this earth to see. Waterfalls, mountains, just the ocean itself. To see all that. But if that wasn't enough, to think about your bodies, how the Lord fashioned us in his image, and to the tiniest bit of our being, from an atom to what we see and look at, and to know, I mean, we can get a little scrape and lose a little skin. That's nothing compared to the tiniest little atom. But he put all that together to make all that work, so that we can run as children. And when you get older, still run, but you get a little bit older, you stop running, but still, your body still works all together. You know, your arms, your legs. And when you get to the point where you're not even moving, your mind is thinking. And he put all this together. But yet still, he is high up in that big universe. So to try to put all that into a picture, it, of course, it's difficult. But as the scripture says, he humbles himself just to acknowledge us. Of course, we are his creation. Yes?
I was going to say, when you were talking about all of this, it takes me back to Moses and the interaction with God. And Moses wanted to see God.
Mm-hmm.
And God told him, if I let you see me, you have to die.
Mm-hmm.
And this is my take on it. If I'm wrong, please correct me. But I think it's because the greatness and the awesomeness and the holiness and the power of God, for the human eye to see this, I don't think our minds could contain it.
Right. I agree with you.
We would really have to die. And God had to humble him. God is spirit. And he had to humble himself and be born of flesh.
Mm-hmm.
In order to interact with the human beings on this earth. And we really can't even imagine what it means to have to strip yourself of the Godhead, the awesomeness that he is,
mm-hmm.
in order to humble himself so low to become a human. I don't think we really fully comprehend what the sacrifice that was on itself, of its own, without having to sacrifice his life.
Mm-hmm. That's a good, very good point. And I agree with you. I don't think our minds could comprehend it either. But that is one of the things that we will be able to understand. If we sing the song, we understand it better by and by.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things we will be able to understand when we leave this place. And we will spend eternity with God, because we too then won't be physical flesh and blood, but we'll be spirit like him. We'll go back to him. Because, as I was saying, when he formed us, if it wasn't for him breathing the breath of life in us, that would be no more than just a one of the little dolls like the kids play with, you know. It, no matter how beautiful it looked, it would just sit there. You know, wouldn't move, wouldn't say nothing. But because he breathed that breath of life in us, man, we can walk and talk, think. And the most important thing, give us free will. You know, so you can't say, well, God gave me everything, but this isn't what I want to do. I want to do something else. Well, he gave you that choice. You can do whatever. He tells you, told us, told people in that day and time. He's still telling us what we should do in order to be with him. But then he still gives you free choice. How great is that? You know, we read about kings in biblical times where you did what the king said. If you didn't do it, it was death, swift and quick. You either do it the king's way or with no way. But God gives you a choice. After he tells you what's the best way for you, and then he lets you decide what you want to do.
Well, the scripture says that he looks far down in the heavens and the earth.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of something difficult to comprehend as well.
Mm-hmm.
Think of God in heaven. This says he looks far down in the heavens.
Above the heavens.
Yes. Because he's above the heavens. We just read that a minute ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you never think about it. You think, oh, he's just in heaven, so that's just right there where we are. No,
right.
He is above
yes.
the heavens. He is far, looking way down.
And above the universe. No. Yes. Yes.
He is awesome and beyond our comprehension. As some of the songs that we sing, you're beautiful beyond description.
Mm-hmm.
Too marvelous for words. And, you know, and so it's very true, very true. And so when we, again, we ask God for that understanding of what holiness is, his holiness.
Mm-hmm.
Not, as you mentioned, the kings and queens of this world do not compare to our Creator, mm-hmm. which again created them as well. But again, we as people, as his children, need to reach within us to through Him and His Spirit help us better understand who He is.
Yeah.
Because hopefully in that understanding, our hearts will have a deeper appreciation for who He is.
We're going to get into that too.
Yeah, yes, we can. Like you're saying, free will.
Mm-hmm.
That God did not make robots.
Right.
If He needed another rock, He would have done that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just sit there and look pretty. No, He wanted people with passion. He wanted people with drive. He wanted people with imagination, with appreciation, with those, you know, again, in His image, those things which He has, He blessed us with a little portion.
Yeah. Very good. Amen.
We're talking about how He humbles Himself. Somebody so great humbles Himself. We think about you talking about kings.
Mm-hmm.
If you do a king wrong, his justice is swift.
Yes.
He takes care of his so-called enemy. But God's humbled Himself so much, like the prodigal son. Prodigal son would have done that to a king when he came back. The first thing he would have faced, like you said, hey, would have come home.
Oh, yeah.
So that story is the father had open arms, gave him the best, had a feast, and celebrated that. So our God is so great, but has so much mercy for us. That's beyond understandable or concept that we can think of, but having that much love for us that we've done God so wrong, but He's still sitting there with open arms waiting for us.
Yeah.
That's the comparison of what we try to compare to God. We can't even get comprehension.
That's true.
But in His patience, he wants us, and He needs us, for us to. We need to understand ourselves that we need to repent.
Mm-hmm.
Repent of the sins that we make. Because we, again, if we are blessed with the understanding of who he is in regard just to His holiness, just what does that really mean? He is intolerant of sin.
Yes.
Cannot be in the same place. Will not. Why? It's not because He doesn't care. It's because He is holy.
Yes.
Holy. And we ask God for us to understand deep reverence, what that means.
Okay.
That how dare us to do evil in the sight.
We don't understand. But that's a good point, because it carries me right into what I was going to come up with next. There's a reason why God is separate from us here on earth. Because even the earth has been tainted with sin after man first sinned. So therefore, God couldn't be on earth, even though we read about God came through the garden in the cool of the day. His presence is there, but to actually have God walking there, that did not happen, not in a physical sense. Because we know for a fact that God is not of a physical body. All the way He came as a physical body is through Jesus Christ. God is spirit. That's why we worship Him in spirit and in truth. When we leave this earth, we will be in spirit. We will have given up this earthly body, and we will obtain a spiritual form to be with God in eternity. We can't go there in this type of body, because it's not going to work.
Thank God.
Amen. I wouldn't want to, because I have enough aches and pains with this one here. Yeah. But that is the main thing. That's why He has separated Himself from His creation, but He's still part of His creation. And we may say, well, how can He separate Himself from the creation and still be a part of it? By the same way He separated Himself from us as humans, but He's still a part of us. Remember, I said He breathed the spirit of life into us. That was Him. That's why we go back to Him. When we leave this earth, that's why we go back to Him, because the body part is going to go to earth, but the spirit is going to go back to spend eternity with God. Now, of course, we don't necessarily have to spend eternity with God, because if we don't try to do as Jesus has taught us, we know that we're not going to spend eternity there. And God also, in His Word, has given us a list of characteristics that you can possess that would not allow you to spend eternity. But again, you still got free choice. You know, so if you want to live that life, go right ahead. Enjoy what this life has to offer while you're here. But you don't expect to get eternity. I think it's supposed to scripture say you have had your heaven right here on earth. Yes.
Back in the day, an airline, you could either go to the first class section or the smoking section. And I think that's very true today. You get a choice of where you're going to go. When you leave this earth, you can either go first class.
Yeah, that's what you want to do. It still was your choice, though. From the beginning, it's still your choice. Okay, another way that we also know that God is not, He's distancing Himself from the sin, as we look in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, and we can see 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, it declares that God is light. And in Him there is no darkness at all. So God can't associate with evil. He's not going to be in anywhere where evil is. God, the holiness in God involves not only the absence of evil, but also the presence of good. Negatively, God never does anything wrong, and positively, He always does everything right. He is perfectly pure. Now, we can't really fathom that. How is it that you never do anything wrong, and if it was anything wrong that you did, it was right? It don't even make sense to think about. You can say, when I'm wrong, I'm right. When I'm right, I'm right. Which, you say, how does that make sense? Because we can't understand to the degree, as you said, of how pure and how holy God is. If we could understand just how holy He is and how good He is, how perfect He is, then yes, it would shame us to the fact that how could you dare do anything wrong? How could you dare mess up? How would you even allow yourself to want to do anything contrary to what God said do? But because we have free will, that also gives the devil an opportunity to do the same way he did with Eve. Did God really say, try to put doubt? And if you stop and think about it, then quite naturally, you're doing wrong right there. So if you're contemplating whether or not is what God said right, or is there, maybe there's no truth in it, how is it not going to be truth in it? Because God is what? He is right all the time. Everything He says is true and good. So how could you even contemplate or even think about any doubt or question it? Because even if you don't understand it, you know it's for your good. Yes?
I was going to say that you can tell of the greatness of God, at least when you look at nature and when you look at His creation.
Mm-hmm.
When you stand at the power of the ocean or when you see the majesty of the mountains, to me that represents God.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you stand before that, you as a human being feel no bigger than a grain of sand compared to the power of God that's displayed before you. And it's unimaginable that somebody, that God created all of this, and that he reveals his power, that he reveals his holiness on a daily basis.
Yes.
You know, you look, you feel the power of the wind. We have today, you know, how cold it is.
Mm-hmm.
You see the power of hurricanes and tornadoes, and they don't just happen. That's done by the power of God, okay?
Okay.
And it just makes you feel powerless. Mm-hmm. And it makes you understand that without God, you're not going to survive this power. You're not going to be able to get on through this on your own.
Right.
It's because of God's goodness and God's power that we survive on a daily basis.
Yeah. I like the way you said about the wind, because that is one very good example. You don't see it where, you don't know where it comes from, and neither do you know where it goes. You don't actually see it.
But you,
you can stand out there and feel it. I felt it yesterday when we were standing out there in that tunnel. But, anyway, you can feel it when you're standing out there. And if you're inside, you can see stuff moving, you know. But I had another thought of the power of God's awesomeness. If you get in an airplane, and I know for me it was my experience, when you get above them clouds, you know, that beauty of looking at those clouds with the sun shining on it, it's like, it's really indescribable. Yeah, I mean, it's a beautiful picture to see. The clouds are not going like that, you know. It looks like a blanket straight across as far as you can see. The sun is shining on it, so pure and white looking. It looks more beautiful than snow. And to know that you are all the way up here, in a moment, you could be on your way back down, you know. And to go one step further, if you get a chance to go out on a cruise, go to the front of that ship. When you're out there in that ocean, and there's no land, nowhere, all you see is water. When I was young, I used to like to draw and stuff. I drew a picture one time of two big, like, mountain sides on the side, and the water, and then the sky. And I titled it, "Where is the Middle at?" And I thought that was something. But I actually got to see, where is the Middle at? To be on that ship, to look out, there is no land. There's nothing but water and sky. As far as you can see. Now, I felt, I can't even describe how small I felt standing right there. My thought was, what if something happened? I don't know in the world I can drink all this water. You know, where am I going to go? You know, there is no land. And the thought came to me, and God stepped out on the face of the deep, and I'm looking, and it's just sky and water. And I'm like, man, God created all this. I'm nothing. You know, I'm really nothing. But that's how holy God is.
God really, through all of this greatness, he reminds us of who he is.
Mm-hmm. Every day, like you said.
By having this greatness there. And people think that you can't experience God, but you can. You can just open your eyes and look. You can't help but, you know, this stuff don't just happen on its own. This stuff just, with a big bang, appeared here the way it is.
No, it didn't.
It's just not possible.
No, it didn't.
And you can feel God, and you can feel his greatness and his holiness.
Yes, you can. We all should be able to see it, but a lot of people don't. We take it for granted. Just one second. We take it for granted because we say it all the time that the devil is out there 24/7 seeking who he may devour. Well, God is out there 24/7 too. Well, we tend to see more of what the devil does, and we forget about what God does. And we don't pay attention and be thankful for everything that God does. I remember listening to my brother-in-law one time saying, do you realize when you're going down the highway, it's only a little strip that's in the road that's separating the oncoming traffic from you going down. And in a second, it could be over, and it could be the end. It's how close we are to death every day and not even realizing it, because the devil said, oh, you got it, man. Go ahead, you can drive, you know. Go ahead, you want to turn the radio up. You know, look at your phone. Do anything. You can drive, you got it. Some people deserve them to be sleeping, you know, but that's how close we are to death every day. And we ought to be thanking God every time we get up. Say, thank you, Lord, I made it this far. Okay, you had a comment?
Yes, I found a verse. Psalm 26:10, I believe it is.
Psalm 26?
Psalm 46.
46. Okay.
And
yeah.
We know that we've been discussing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we see the mighty power of God's creation.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're saying, the hurricanes, we see the tornadoes, we see the windstorms, we can see that power in that. But also, because of God's majesty in
mm-hmm.
that we're trying to comprehend, it says in Psalm 46:10, be still.
Mm-hmm.
And know.
Mm-hmm. How great he is.
Be still. And know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.
Yeah.
The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Mm-hmm.
So again, in the calm of your room, in the calm, in the closet, wherever, you can feel His power in that stillness.
Yeah. That is so very true. I know I'm running out of time here, but one other point I want to bring up. Well, we talked about how holy God is and how awesome He is, how vast He is. We as people, followers, Christian followers, try to pattern ourselves to be like God so that we can spend eternity with Him. The thing is, we'll never do it in this life. We're working at it. We're striving for it. But it's not going to happen in this life. What we're working for and striving for is to be with God in eternity. And everything that we learn to do and what we do is what the benefits will be when we get to eternity. Then we will be like Him. We can understand Him. We can spend eternity with Him. But we can't get there unless we strive for it in this life. I had the way that they described it here. That's what, yes.
I was going to say, when you mentioned all this, that we can't forget the greatness of God's love for His creation.
Mm-hmm.
Because God, His love is, we can't even fathom the type of love that He has. We tell people we love them, but that is just not even in any comparison to how God loves us. And in this love, because he knew us as human beings, we are forgetful people, we are people with conflicts in our lives. But he put in provision the help that we need in order to be able to attain that purity, in order so we can come before God through his Son.
Yeah.
It's because of that love, and it also helps us to understand that God created us for himself, not for us.
Right.
He wants that relationship, and that's why he created us. That's why he loves us the way he does. And that's also the reason why he put these provisions in for us.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about that at the ladies' class Friday.
Okay.
That he, from the beginning, really, if you think about that, from the beginning, he put those provisions in place that they will happen at a later time when the time is right for God to put them in there. But he did it because of his love for his creation.
That's true. But the love was meant for us to come back to
exactly.
him.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't just, I mean, he did it for us because of his love. But all that, as you said, was in the process for us to come back
yes.
to him. Look at Philippians 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 and 14. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 and 14. Not that I have already attained or am already perfect, but I press on, that I may lay hold of what for which Christ Jesus has already laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward for those things which are ahead, I press forward toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So, see, this is what we are striving for, to be able to spend eternity with God, to be able to be there forever. But the only way we're going to be able to do that is to change the way in which we live here on this earth. And we are striving for that each and every day. It's not easy, but because if once we know how great God is, that should give us more incentive as to where we're going, what we're going to be like when we get there, and what we're doing in the process of trying to get there. And there is nothing that we can do that would hinder us from getting there except us turning our back completely on God and saying, no, I don't want to hear it. No, I don't want to do it. No, I don't have nothing to do with it. Because God has already told us that if we repent, he is gracious enough to forgive us of all sins we commit. So if you have any kind of sin you think you did, and we talked about it last week, one of the greatest sins you could commit is murder. What David did, murdered a man and then took his wife. What greater sin could you possibly do? But even if you commit murder, Moses committed murder. If you commit murder, God will still accept you. If you've been in a church or you were trying to live right and you've fallen away, God will still accept you back. It's only when you say, nah, I ain't doing that no more. I ain't going to church no more. I don't believe in God. I don't want to have nothing to do with God. And you seal your own faith. You got free will. You can do that. But once you do that, you turn your back on God. God did not turn his back on you. Once you have a repentant heart for anything you do, you come to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry for what I did. Please forgive me. And that's what David did. God would say, okay. God didn't kill him. Oh, he still had to pay the cost. but I also still accepted him back. So that is my lesson for the day. God is holy. We strive to be holy also. Thank you.
Thank you.